Hi, Greg Barth back with you on another edition of Noir on the Radio. And joining me for this round is author Robert J. Rindisi. Rindisi is the creator and author of the long-running series The Gunsmith, which has currently passed 400 books as it continues to be published monthly. He's also the creator and author of The Tracker, Angel Eyes, and Mountain Jack Pike series. His novel Crowbait, the fifth to feature his series character Lancaster, currently has 77 customer reviews on Amazon, where it spent time on their top 10 Western list. Crowbait and the three books in the Sons of Daniel Shea series have been his best-selling Western novels to date, along with the Gunsmith series. In all, he's written more than 640 books in the Western, mystery, private eye, spy, and men's adventure genres, and he's the co-founder of the Western Fictioneers and co-founder of the Peacemaker Award. His new adult Western series, Lady Gunsmith, first appeared in March of 2017 with Book 1, The Legend of Roxy Doyle. Book 2, The Three Graves of Roxy Doyle, will appear later in 2017, and books will then begin to be published every 3 months. So, Robert Rindisi, welcome to Noir on the Radio. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg. I really liked your opening theme there.
Well,
I was rocking
to
it.
So, Robert, I've been reading The Legend of Roxy Doyle, the first in the Lady Gunsmith series, just released a couple of days ago, and I really like this character, you know, and the potential for this series. How did this new series come about? Was it, you know, was this an idea you had or a recommendation from a publisher? How did you start this?
This was a long time coming. Back in 1982, I was writing Gunsmith series for Charter Books. And after we did the first 12, Charter decided, and we decided that we'd like to do something called Lady Gunsmith. And we were planning on doing it, you know, 45 years ago. And then Berkeley bought Charter and decided not to do it. They wanted to continue the Gunsmith, but they didn't want to have anything to do with Lady Gunsmith. So she sort of lay dormant until last year. When I was going to New Orleans for the Bouchicon Mystery Convention, and I was going to have a meeting with my agent. And my girlfriend and I drove there, and we were talking about what I should be doing. And she said, well, what about bringing that up again? Bring up Lady Gunsmith to your agent and see what he says. And we talked about it at lunch, and he went to the publisher who is now reprinting the first 300 Gunsmiths, and apparently they want to get into doing something original, and they jumped at the idea of a Lady Gunsmith series.
Wow, that's fantastic. So the Gunsmith series, like you said, has been around since the early 1980s. Excuse me. Do you anticipate writing hundreds of novels about this new character, Roxy Doyle?
I hope so. I figure that if I keep writing until I'm 90, I might make it to 1,000 books, you know.
Well, I bet you get there. I bet you do. What was your inspiration for this this character, Roxy Doyle? Is she like anybody you know?
She's not like anybody I know, which is the point. I mean, most women who I know aren't this exciting as she is. I had done a series in the 80s about a character called Angel Eyes, who was a lady gunfighter. And that series, she was blonde and beautiful, and it ran for about 9 books from a small publisher who then canceled it. So I had enjoyed doing those 9 books, and I often thought about spinning something off of the Gunsmith series because so many good characters walk on and off the set, you know, with Gunsmith in and out of the books. And so I decided that spinning it off and using the same pseudonym, you might as well have the word Gunsmith in there too, so people recognize it. So that became Lady Gunsmith. I had done a book about a red-haired gunfighter in the Gunsmiths, and her name was she was called the Scarlet Gun. I think that was Gunsmith number 44. The Scarlet Gun. So this is sort of an offshoot of that idea.
Yeah. How would you describe, what would you want our readers to know about The Legend of Roxy Doyle, this new book that's just released, kind of set up what's going on there for them who may not have had opportunity to see this on Amazon or anywhere yet?
Well, she's as the book opens, she's 25, and we flash back, and you see that she did not have an easy childhood. She came from the East on a wagon train with her parents, and her mother was killed along the way by Indians. And so the father was left to raise her, and he didn't know how to do that. So he left her in the hands of another family while he went off to make money and send it back, and he went off and became a famous bounty hunter. And meanwhile, she did not have a good life with this family. She was abused, and she took off and left when she was 15. And the premise of the series is that she's traveling around the West really trying to find her father, who has this big reputation as a bounty hunter. And along the way, she meets the gunsmith, who sort of takes her under its wing and teaches her how to use a gun and how to use it properly, and actually sort of designs a gun for her to carry. And that's where
he's the one who can certainly show her how to use that that weapon like no one
else. Yes.
Yeah, I like it that in this first book, we see Roxy driving, the present plot when she's 25 years old, but we also get to experience her backstory. Do you think her backstory is told at this point, or may there be more, flashbacks to those formative years as the series continues?
I think I'm planning on each book doing a flashback to something that happened in her past. Probably not as far back as 15. I'm working on Lady Gunsmith number 2 now, and I flash back like 3.5 years to when she's 21 to show a little bit.
Yeah, I think that really adds a lot to the story. If there was a movie made about the Lady Gunsmith, who would you like to see cast as Roxy?
I haven't given that much thought. I can't think of the perfect Lady Gunsmith was Raquel Welch when she played Hanny Calder. If you've ever seen that movie, that Western movie.
I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And if they want to put a red wig on Charlize Theron, then I guess she'd be pretty good.
I can see that too. That would work well.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, this isn't the first time you've written a Western featuring a woman protagonist, and it's kind of been done in the adult Western genre with I'm thinking of the Lone Star series, but I'm curious as to how different this is for you as a writer. What kinds of things do you have to take into consideration with the female protagonist?
Well, I have to tap into my female side. We all have a little of each side in us, so I have to get in touch with my feminine side to do this. And I think I've done a pretty good job of it. Back when I was trying to sell Angel Eyes to publishers, the reception that I was getting was, well, does she have a male sidekick to save her? And I said, no, she has no male sidekick. She is a gunfighter in her own right. And that's the thing with Lady Gunsmith. She does not have a man to depend on. And in fact, she sort of has a very low opinion of men. And I tend to think most men are stupid. So it sort of works out.
I think so. It's it's really good story. I write also with a female protagonist, and one of the things that I've found doing that is you have an emotional palette at your disposal that you don't necessarily have when you write about a male character, or at least the readers are not going to get behind them if they're in tears over something, or something like that. I think you have a wider range. And I agree, if your woman protagonist needs somebody to rescue her, then she's not the hero of the story. Whoever's coming to save her, that person is the hero.
That person,
so I don't
hero,
think it
yeah.
would work. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I live with a pretty strong woman who's a writer herself. She's editing the books for me before I send them out to the publisher. So if I'm not quite in touch with my feminine side, she sort of helps me do that.
Yeah, I can see that. That would definitely help. So should readers, you know, anticipate Roxy Doyle occasionally making appearances in the Clint Adams series, you know, as he does in the Lady Gunsmith novel?
I haven't thought that far ahead yet. I mean, I want to get a bunch of her books under my belt. There's a possibility that he may walk on in her books again. But I don't know about her walking on in his. I mean, you know, I'm doing a Gunsmith every month, and I'm doing a Lady Gunsmith every 3 months. I'll have to come up with a formula for who walks on the whose books, you know, in the future.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned writing, you know, the Gunsmith book a month. So there's, what, over 400 of those out now, right?
Yeah, they've been appearing a month since January of 1982.
Amazing. So let's talk a little bit about writing. You know, Robert, your writing output is amazing. You've written hundreds of the Gunsmith novels and hundreds of others as well. What, 640 books, I think we said?
Yeah.
How do you maintain that pace, and what does a day in the life of Robert Randisi, the writer, look like?
I spend a lot of time sitting in a chair in front of a desk. When I first started writing, I realized that I had a natural fast pace. And writers who I met who had been in the business for a long time said, you can't write that fast and write well. And I tried to slow down, and I found that I couldn't produce. So what I tell most young writers starting out today is you have to find your own speed and stick with it. And so I have a natural writing speed of about 10 pages an hour. And I tend to write during the day in three different shifts. I'll spend 3 or 4 hours writing and then stop for dinner and then take a nap and then work on a different book for the next 3 hours or 4 hours until midnight, and then stop for a coffee break or something, and then go back and work for another 3 hours. So I'm usually working until about 5 a.m.
And you keep that pace up every day?
Pretty much, yeah. So that weekends
so,
don't...
So you're literally always writing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even when we're in the car running errands, I mean, I'm doing it in my head, so... Yeah, it's
do
a
you,
thing. I mean,
you outline... I'm sorry,
no.
Go ahead.
No, I don't outline. The time that I spend outlining, I could be doing another couple of pages. You know, and I don't tend to rewrite sometimes in a mystery I'll rewrite a little bit, but on the Westerns, they pretty much get published the way they come out the first time. I don't have time to go back and rewrite.
Amazing.
So I'm producing about 16 books a year at this point.
That's amazing. 16 books a year, and mm-hmm. I think you'll close in on that 1,000 books, because if you're at 640 now, you've got 360 to go, right?
Right. Yeah.
So with well over 600 novels to your credit, how do you keep your story ideas, you know, fresh and avoid cliche and the like?
Well, I don't. Have a problem coming up with ideas. I mean, they're always there, and they're in the back of my mind, and they're I'll try to make notes on the computer so that I don't forget any of them. I don't believe in writer's block because I could never afford it. And during the course of the day, I mean, if you don't come across 6 different ideas, then you're not really paying attention.
Well, when did you first realize that you wanted to be a writer?
I was 15. And I went to the movies and saw the movie Harper with Paul Newman and found out that it was based on a Ross McDonald book. I went out and bought the Ross McDonald book and read it. And at 15, I decided that I wanted to write for a living when I turned 30. So that was my 15-year plan, and that's what I did.
And what was the first thing you wrote? Did you start with The Gunsmith, or did you have other things before that that you'd written and published?
Have you read the Destroyer series by Warren Murphy?
Yeah, some of those, yeah.
Yeah, I wrote a couple of those with him. That was my first
Okay.
work, and my first novel was a private eye novel that I published with Charter Books. And I was going to do more of those, and the editor called me up one day and said, "Can you write a Western?" And at that point, I had never even thought about writing a Western. I didn't even read them. And I said, "Yeah, of course I can write a Western." Because back then, I never said no to anything. So he said, "Well, do we want to get into this adult Western market?" You know, Long Arm was already out, and Jake Logan was already out. And he said, "We want to get into that market." And so I did a proposal for the Gunsmith series, and they liked it. And they signed me to a two-book contract, and then they said they wanted to add one more to make it three books. And then they called me up and said, "We'd like to add nine more. Can you do one a month?" And I didn't know if I could or not, but I said yes. So I ended up being contracted to do 12 books in 12 months without knowing if I could really do it.
Yeah, wow. You know, I think back to when I was young and reading and really got into Westerns in a big way. You know, there was Louis L'Amour, Elmore Leonard, Jake Logan, you know, J.R. Roberts, all those guys. And you know, there it seems like in the 70s and 80s, the Western genre was really hot, and also the men's adventure genre. And these days, and I can even remember just a few years ago, we had leisure westerns that came out, quite a few westerns every month, and now it seems like there's less. What would you say is the kind of the state of the western genre right now?
Well, we're trying to recover from New York deciding that Westerns don't sell anymore. All the New York publishers, specifically when Berkeley decided to cancel their entire Western line, which included Long Arm and Logan and Gunsmith and Trailsman, you know, about 3 years ago, we're all trying to recover from that. And luckily, at the same time, you know, you have this ebook boom of, you know, and so you have small press publishers and ebook publishers are trying to pick up the slack on the Westerns, as well as a bunch of writers out there publishing their own books, which is not something that I'm terribly in favor of. A
Yeah.
lot of the writers who are publishing their own books are not having them edited before they go out there, you know.
The quality really suffers with the
It does.
self-published market, I think. Yeah, I I think you know, the great thing about the ebook market for me is the fact that you know, I don't have to find a collector's item to get, you know, the number one, the first book in a series
Right.
off of eBay. You know what I mean? I can you know, you got the Fargo series, you know, they're putting those back out in e-copies. A lot of those old Ben Haas, West, you know, there's so much that I can get today easily without having to sift through, you know, used bookstores. But that's fun too, you know, sifting through those used bookstores. So the ebook, you know, I think a lot of these are coming back, and I feel like it's giving some attention to that adult Western genre, and it's exciting to see, you know, this week, number one book in the Lady Gunsmith series is out, and we can get in, you know, the ground floor of this exciting new series. But
Right.
what's your thought on ebooks and that whole what's happening right now, reviving some of those old titles?
Well, I think that's where ebooks for me are good, is that it's bringing back a lot of the old books that should have been back in print and aren't. The other thing is it's it's so much easier for the ebook companies to do Westerns because there's no warehousing. The overhead is so small that they don't have to sell as many copies to be successful. So where we were selling in the 80s, we were selling 100,000 copies of The Gunsmith, and it was a successful series. You know, if you do marginally less than that, if you do 5,000 or 10,000 in ebooks, right now that would be considered a bestseller.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to warehouse the books.
And there's the distribution. I mean, it's all electronic. It's you know, doesn't take the overhead.
Right.
Which writers would you name as major inspirations for you, Robert?
Well, my first love is still Private Eye Books. So Ross McDonald and Raymond Chandler were big inspirations for me. When I started writing, I was reading people who have become contemporaries of mine. I mean, Bill Prandtini was another one who influenced some of my work. And I really enjoyed the, as you said, the Fargo Westerns, the Western series by Ben Haas was an influence on me. And I'm really happy to see those coming back in ebook.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting because a lot of those, you know, there were so many of them out there back then that, you know, I barely scratched the surface, and I was, you know, a voracious reader back in the day, but I missed out on so many, you know, the good things that were there. And now I can go back and, you know, revisit.
What I had to do back in 1981 when they asked me to come up with a series is I went to a used bookstore and I bought about 40 Westerns, one each in different series and from different authors, and read them so I could try not to repeat anything that anybody else had done. So I had to give myself a quick education in what was out there.
Yeah. Do you read a lot these days? And if so, you know, who are you reading?
I don't read as much as I used to. I do read some mystery authors like Max Collins and Bill Prandtini and Peter Robinson, and some Western authors like James Reasoner. And I was reading Ed Gorman until he passed away recently.
Ed Gorman was amazing. I mean, he was his Westerns even, you know, had that noir tinge to them a lot of times, and just great stuff.
Yep.
So a lot of our listeners are, you know, people who are, you know, out there working hard on their, you know, their first novel, you know, trying to see their way through it, or, you know, thinking about being writers. You know, most people who really love to read, you know, give some thought to writing. What advice would you give to someone who wants to be a writer?
To educate themselves on what's out there and on what it takes to be a writer. I mean, it doesn't take disposable income to be a writer. That's what a lot of people think. They think they can put something down on paper, and if they have the money to send it in to Smashwords or Kindle, they're a writer. There's a lot you have to learn first before you can call yourself a writer, and I think a lot of people aren't getting themselves that education. So, you know, pay attention, go to some of these writers' conferences and learn to do this before you actually sit down and try to do it.
Good advice. So what new and exciting projects are you working on these days, and what do we have to look forward to from you?
Well, more Gunsmith, more Lady Gunsmith. I'm writing another book in my Rat Pack mystery series. It's the 11th book in the Rat Pack series. I had a book out a couple of years ago. It was a Private Eye novel set in Nashville. I'm doing a second book in that series. And I have a three-book Hitman series out from Down and Out Books, which is available now. And I've got a lot of other ideas because they just come to me every day.
I think a lot of my listeners, our listeners here, would be interested in, you know, maybe hearing a little bit about the Hitman series or the Rat Pack series. You want to talk just a little bit about those real quick?
Well, the Rat Pack, you know, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis are performers who I really admired, and I really enjoy the movie Ocean's 11. So when I came up with the idea for the Rat Pack, it was that they would all be in Vegas shooting Ocean's 11, and they'd get involved with the mystery. And the main character is a pit boss at the Sands Hotel, who I call Eddie G. And whenever the Rat Pack gets into some kind of trouble, they go to Eddie G to try and get them out of trouble. And so each book has got Frank or Dean or somebody like that in it. And then as a guest appearance, you know, I have one book which has Marilyn Monroe and one which has Elvis Presley and one which has Ava Gardner. So they're a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to write about Vegas in the 60s. And,
that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, Eddie G is in his 80s now, and the book starts with him in his 80s, and then he thinks back to what things were like back in the 60s, you know, when the Rat Pack was in town.
Yeah.
And
the Hitman series.
Yeah, it's the Hitman series I'm doing now for Down and Out Books. The third book just came out. The first book was called Upon My Soul. It's about a hitman who wakes up one day and discovers that he suddenly has a soul and he can't kill anymore. And what kind of life he has to live from that point on, with people still coming after him and still forcing him into situations where he might have to kill. And it's a three-book series, which hopefully has him come to terms with the fact that he has a soul, but he still has to kill once in a while.
Yeah. And that's with Down and Out Books. I tell you, there are a lot of exciting things going on with that publisher these days. They're really putting together some quality.
Yes, they are.
Offerings.
They've already
one to watch.
They've already managed to have one of their authors win a Seamus for best novel and one of their authors win a Hammett for best novel. So they're doing a lot of good things.
Yeah, was that Joe Abramo that won the Seamus movie?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was on the show a while back before he actually won that award.
Oh, good. Yeah, he was excited to win that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
He won our Private Eye Writers of America contest for best first novel. We had a contest where people would send in their first novel, and he won, and it was published by St. Martin's, and he's gone on from there.
Yeah, great guy. Good series he's got, too.
Yeah.
So Robert, where's the best place where people can find you out there on the web and keep up with you these days?
Well, on Facebook, I don't really have a website. I've never had time to do that, but I'm about to have someone build a Gunsmith, Lady Gunsmith website for me, so they can look for that probably within the next month. And I'm on Facebook, and I have a Twitter account, but I don't tweet. And I don't tend to care what people are tweeting about, so I don't pay much attention to it. But I have a Facebook page, and I have a little bit of a presence on Facebook, you know, talking about writing books and collecting books.
Yeah, I see you on a lot of the groups, you know, the collectors. And, you know, I'm not really a collector myself. But, man, I love those old books, and I can just remember all the excitement me and my brother had reading those, you know, the Ninja Master books and all that, the Dirty Harry books. That was just such a crazy time. I'd love to have all those back, but I don't really have room to store any more books right now. But
yep.
I love being on those sites and seeing those pictures you guys share with your collections.
It's a problem, you know, when you want to collect books and then we moved 4 months ago and I don't have a collection anymore. I have an accumulation, and that took up, you know, about 60 cartons of books. So,
wow,
you got to keep in mind,
you may
have to move. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to, another advantage with the e-readers, you can carry so much with you, but, you just miss that, you know, the tactile experience of, you know, reading an actual, you know, one of those old paperbacks.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Robert, I want to thank you, you know, for coming on the show and talking to us about your work. You know, I feel like we've just kind of scratched the surface, but it's been great having you on. I'm really excited about the, you know, the Lady Gunsmith series. I love this new series, and I'm going to be, you know, waiting every new release and already pre-ordered the second one. This is some really good stuff. So, you know, thanks for so much for coming on and sharing this with us tonight.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the time to talk about it.
Hey, let's do this again sometime. This has been good.
Sure, let's do it every
3 months.
And
for the listeners, I encourage you. I love it. Let's do that. And for the listeners, I encourage you, check out The Legend of Roxy Doyle, the first volume in the Lady Gunsmith series. And while you're at it, you know, give some consideration to Robert's extensive work in both, you know, the Western and P.I. genres, much of which, you know, fits right in for fans of all things noir. You won't regret it. And until next time, this is Greg Barth with Noir on the Radio. And Noir on the Radio is a copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC.